Hello, this
Well,
is
we made
our
it.
last one of the season. I'm kind of sad.
It's episode 30.
And we're gonna talk about something that surprisingly we haven't covered. I'm surprised because it's pretty integral to our identity and like experience. Yeah, but it's kind of sad that this is the last episode. So we gotta end it with this not interesting, but important topic of our bicultural identity.
So funny story. I just found it so funny. Like, because we're trying to come up with like juicy topics. And I was like, my life is so dry. There's no more juice to squeeze. I just find it so funny.
I know. I
No
know.
more
I just feel
juice.
like, I don't know, maybe if we dig deeper, we can find juicier like topics to talk about like from the past. But I feel like that wouldn't like make sense to our podcast.
Yeah, I feel like we're not like we're more like yeah, like we're not like dramatic people.
We're not like TMI, like clickbait, I feel like. Even though those are really
That's right.
interesting to listen to sometimes.
Yeah, it's like fun, you know.
Yeah,
But
this
this
is
is
not us.
yeah. We keep it still keep it real.
And stick to the Hong Kong. But yeah, how is life? It's been a week. Yeah, a week since we last
Last
recorded.
thing in a week, we recorded on Monday or Sunday? Monday? Forgot. I think
Oh, I don't remember. I think we
it was
recorded like
Monday.
as usual last week.
Yeah, I forgot. Oh, Sunday maybe. But yeah, it's been a few days. Like honestly, this week is not bad. I had a big project for my internship. Like they're launching this new platform. And I was helping them to like design it. And I'm so like it was one of the it's probably the most complicated project that I've worked on so far. And I'm really glad I finished it yesterday. You know, like the moment that I finish it, because I've been like working a lot on it, like till late night, every day. And then yesterday when I finished it, I was like, oh my gosh. Finally, and it felt so good, and yeah, so that has been it. I'm just really grateful for the project because I learned a lot.
Summer's a workaholic.
I really am. Like, oh my gosh, there was one night where I thought I finished the stuff. Like, I had to fin I finished the stuff that I need to do to that day, and then. So I didn't have any like I guess work that I have to do, and then I was like, "Shit, what do I do now? What do I do with myself? I want
You would be a
to
workaholic though. Y'all,
work."
Summer's doing so
It
much. Please tell her to relax.
Yeah, I will soon. Yeah, I get to
Yes.
relax this weekend.
Yes.
Okay, what about you?
Oh my God, I get out of quarantine in 2 days.
Ah,
Like,
finally.
this podcast has been helping me count down. Yeah, not much. Honestly, like I'm really excited to get out of here. I have stuff planned. I have a whole list of stuff that I want to do when I get out, but
Oh,
my like when I get
yay.
out, I'm actually gonna go have lunch with my mom and then I'm gonna go get my hair cut because it's like really long and I know this isn't long for some people, but I haven't had my hair this long, I feel like, in a while. So I want to get it cut. I want to dye it if my mom lets me. And then let me look at my list. So I have to cut my hair, potentially dye my hair, not at the same time. And then my phone screen protector is cracked from when I fell one time when I was running. So I need to go get that fixed. I refuse to get it like changed in like the US because it's so expensive.
Yeah, I know. I know. Like usually in the US, I feel like people just do it themselves. Like I
Oh,
do it
I
by
can't do
myself.
it by myself. There's always like air bubbles and it doesn't stick. And I just don't trust myself. And then I need to buy more like film for my film camera. And I'm like thinking of investing, maybe not investing, or like getting like a point and shoot film camera and set. 'Cause you know the one I have, it's like really bulky. And like I can't really take it to travel because it's like very like I don't want it to break. Like I can't like hand carry it. I don't have a case because I got it secondhand. So I want to get one of those like just point and shoot ones, but they're actually pretty expensive. That instant one? No. It's like a like you have to put film in it. Like you have to like you know those disposable ones.
Yeah.
Like it's like that, but it's not disposable.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's like smaller.
Yeah, and it's like there's like a cover, like you can just put it in your bag and like it'll be fine.
Oh, wait, what is it called? Because I really want a film camera too.
It's just called, get that. I think it's just point and shoot point. Film camera. Yeah, point and shoot. And then, yeah, Hong Kong. Well, if you get it somewhere, I can get you some film from here because film in Hong Kong is like definitely way cheaper. Yeah.
Right. Oh, it's not that expensive too. Like the point and shoot. Oh, wait.
Actually, is that the disposable one?
Some are more expensive than others, but overall, like, oh, I don't know what these are. Okay. Anyways, we'll talk about it later.
Yes. And then I want to go get some new clothes. I just feel like I don't shop a lot when I'm in the States, and I always do my shopping in Hong Kong. So. Yes. I'm gonna so do cheaper. That. It is like very cheap. And I feel like it's more my style. Like I find more clothes that fit what I want to wear, which is like very basic. Like my style is very basic. And then I put AirPods ? Maybe that'll be my Christmas present to myself. And then I need to go get my clothes altered, basically. Like my mom always goes to this one place to alter our clothes, and it's really cheap and affordable. So I just brought back a bunch of clothes that I need altered. I was trying to find a place to alter, like in LA, and I was like, why is it so expensive? I literally just
need probably to, like, very crop expensive. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is so expensive here.
It makes sense though, because the minimum wage is higher. Like, standard That's of living true. Is higher.
Standard of living is higher.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like for someone who comes from Hong Kong, we always have the feeling that this does not worth that much. Like, I'm not willing to pay that much money for this service or product. Because, like, we're so used to the Hong Kong price.
Yeah,
because
we can get it for cheaper. So, if you want anything somewhere, let me know.
Okay.
Even though I don't know when I'm going to go to the Bay. But... Yeah, I'm excited.
Maybe I can come to LA.
I like. I'm going to pick up my gown on Tuesday, like on the day after the day after I get out. But my mom just received like the graduation tickets, and she was like, "Oh, graduates have to get there a bit early to like sit down and like whatever, you know, like graduates have to go in and prep before they walk." And I'm like nervous because I have no friends, so I'm like, I'm just gonna go in and be alone. I mean, it's fine. At this stage of my life, like, I kind of don't care anymore, like, if I have any friends. Just like, I don't like that feeling, but I know I'll be fine, like, afterwards, like, once I'm out of it, which shows progression of how I was in high school. Because in high school, I felt like really defeated about it. But now I'm just like, oh, it's fine. But it's also like not a good feeling. So I just have to brave it. It honestly doesn't matter.
You can do it.
Because it's probably not going to be that long. I just want to get it over with.
And socially distant. Everyone needs to be socially distant. So.
Do people care, don't though? I feel like people don't care. But
no, but then like you can act like you're just... being cautious.
I'm like, I should like wear hula hoop.
Don't come. Yeah. Don't come near me.
Yes. But yeah, I'm excited. And I'm just not excited to like be alone. I just thought I could be with my parents all day, but it's fine. I'm an adult. I can deal with it.
Yes, we're an adult.
But yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like this is like what you're saying is what we've been talking about has pretty much been related to our topics today. But before we get into that, we have a spicy this or that.
Is it spicy? Two fruits.
Between two fruits that are, I feel like they're siblings.
They are. I always mix them up. The first one is longan, which is, I don't know what the English name is.
Dragon eye, I think.
Oh, really?
I think they actually call it dragon eyes.
Well, I guess it makes sense. It's direct translation.
Yeah. I remember seeing Dragon Eye.
And the second one is Lychee. And they're both like, they both have the shell. Like, you both have to peel, have to peel the shell, and you eat the meat, and there's a seed that you have to spit out, basically. It's like very similar.
And they're both kind of like translucent.
Yeah. But Lychee is usually bigger, I feel like, and juicier.
Yeah. Lychee has a red shell and it's thicker. Spiky. And harder shell. But Longan has a thinner and like kind of brownish, yellow, greenish. I don't know. I don't know what that color is. Like brownish shell and it's a lot thinner.
Yes. Yes. Do you have a pick?
Ooh. Dang it. This is hard. Like, oh, also, another thing is, I know people here have a debate about whether it's lychee or lychee.
I say lychee.
Lychee, lychee.
Because lychee
makes more sense. Like, yeah. What is it in Mandarin? Lychee.
Lychee. Lychee. Maybe we just said that wrong.
Well, so
I think it's li.
You can say lychee.
Lychee makes sense, too.
I just don't know. Yeah. Anyways, I really like lychee, but I don't eat it that often because it's so expensive.
It's hard to find.
I think I'm gonna go with Longan. Dragon eyes, because there's so many things you can make out of dragon eyes. Like, my mom, she used to always make dragon eyes drinks, like Longan Bing. Basically, you kind of like mix, not like make quote unquote soup with longan, but it's like she add like brown sugar, and I think that's all, like brown sugar, water, and then put dried longan inside.
And dried longan,
it's like the perfect, it's like the perfect summer drink. It's so good. Like, you know how hot it is in Hong Kong, but whenever I drink longan bing, I just feel like cool, and it's tau sum ler. There's a phrase in Cantonese called tau sum ler. Means that you feel the coolness from the bottom of your heart. You know?
Yeah.
Kind of like that. So it's just a really nice, cool feeling. And just in general, I feel like lychee can be too sweet for me sometimes. I think lychee is sweeter than longan. And I don't like sweet that much. So, I'll go with longan.
Good choice, good choice. I also would go with longan. I used to snack on, like, the dried longan. And I just grew up loving longan. I don't know why. I ate it a lot, like, as a kid growing up. It's hard to find, like, in LA. So, I actually haven't had longan in a long time. But it's funny. My uncle gave me a whole bag of longan. Because I think he knows people who, like, grows it. So, like, they get, like, fresh longan. So, he gave me a bag. Ooh. And, like, it was, like, a big bag. And I was like, I can't finish this. Like, when am I gonna eat it? So, he gave it to me and my boyfriend. And, literally, I made George try the longan. But I don't think, like, he's used to that kind of fruit. So, he didn't like it.
Really? Shame on you.
It is kind of a, like, interesting taste, though, wouldn't you say? Like, longan.
Really?
Yeah, like, it's kind of like interesting normal texture. Like, if you're thinking of like normal, like typical, like American fruits, like you think of apple, like orange, and longan is like,
it's like crunchy.
It's like kind of slimy.
Longan is not. Longan is not. Not. It's not slimy.
Maybe it can bit. Be. Like when you open
but
it.
Like. Yeah. 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 I guess. I guess. George.
And I used to be so proud of, like, me, like, eating longan, because, like, I can tell, like, you can tell if it's gone bad and if it's edible if you look at the top stem, the little white part. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, the top of it.
I don't know how to tell.
Okay. If it's, like, darker, then it means it's bad and you shouldn't eat it. But if it's, like, white, that means it's, like, in good condition to eat. Anyways, it was really fun for me when I was younger. I would just, like, look at it and see if it's good to eat.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, and honestly, look, I can see how that can be a little weird because I think like longan is like the texture that you imagine an actual eye will
like it does kind of look like an eye.
An actual eye. Yeah. Well, lychee too, right? They have a pretty similar consistency.
Yeah, maybe lychee is like sweeter, so it tastes more like fruit.
Damn, now that you're talking about it, like, I just want longan.
Maybe I'll, like, I was gonna say I'll bring some to you, but you are far away. But I can bring my uncle's friend's longan to you. But,
yeah,
I mean, I have had a fish eye before. So,
Yeah, I feel like, people here don't do that, right?
No.
I guess.
It's on James Corden, people eat fish eye.
Oh.
As a punishment. But it's the best part. It's the best part.
Yeah. Well, I don't eat it, but.
Yes. Yeah.
Some people do like the fish eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, longa for both of us.
We agreed.
Yes.
Yeah. I wish there's more longa.
I know.
It's also really expensive. I think I've seen it in Chinatown, but my parents told me it's really expensive. That's why I didn't buy it.
Yeah, I see it at 99 Ranch, I think, or Ranch 99, whatever. This debate is old. But I think they're just not the best quality, like the ones that they sell. Like, 99 Ranch doesn't have the best, like, fruits and vegetables, but that's the only place I can really find longan that's, like, close to me.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
I really like today's topic.
It's very... I don't know why we haven't talked about it, to be honest, but we're going to dig deep into that today. So, obviously, we're going to talk about bicultural identity, and I think we're going to touch upon, like, long-distance friends, because we did that 2 episodes ago, but we didn't, like, really talk about it. We, like, briefly talked about it, so we wanted to, like, bring it back.
Yeah.
Bring it back. So, first, we have to, like, go back to... Okay, actually, no. 2 episodes ago, we talked about how we felt moving here, but now we're going to dig deep into how we feel when we go back to Hong Kong and how we, like, deal with that. Because, I don't know, I feel like the more I've been away, the harder it is to come back.
Yeah.
And the last time you were in Hong Kong was a while ago, right? It was 2018?
2019 winter.
Okay.
Winter.
Oh, right.
Right before COVID.
Right. Did you go back to Hong Kong often, like, during high school?
It's, like, once every year or 2 years, I think. Yes, like, during high school, I did come back. I did went back every year. But in college, I think there was 1 year where I was away for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, I in college... I went back once in freshman year for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes, and then I remember
another
that.
Time in junior year.
Do you remember how you felt like when you went back during high school?
I think the first time I went back, one of the things, like, I don't remember if it's the first time, second time, probably both times, I felt like I have to be a certain version of myself in order to, I don't know, meet other people's expectation. I think I feel that internal, I felt that internal pressure because I think I've talked about it before that a lot of my friends, they will like jokingly talk about like, oh, what you'll become. When you move to the U.S. And I think people really expect you to be like, oh, like, you look like an ABG now. Not ABG, ABC. You look like an ABC now with really good English. And, like, you're, like, sometimes just try to speak English in the middle of the sentence.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So I think I felt the pressure to act a certain way when I go back at the beginning. Yeah. But during high school, I was still really, really homesick. So I think because the first year was so difficult and like going back, like I just realized how much I miss Hong Kong. And when I left the first time, like I really, really cried.
Mm-hmm.
Like harder than when I first left Hong Kong.
Mm.
Because I was like, I don't want to go back to that shithole.
Yeah.
So it was really hard. I remember it was really hard because I was really like depressed at the time. And then I felt like, oh, like things like are so much better and like comfortable in Hong Kong. It was so much happier. And it was really difficult to leave again.
Yeah.
And however, when I went back in college, I think because in college I met a lot of new friends, I feel like through that I built my own support system in the US, and also kind of I think college is a very good place for you to assimilate to mm-hmm. the culture, because everyone is there to like meet new friends and you get exposed to like quote unquote like American culture because you hang out with your friends all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's when I feel a lot better about being in the US. And I think it was easier to like go back and like leave.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
But I do feel like I've changed a lot when like during college I went back and I can see that I've changed a lot. Like my perspectives, my values are more quote unquote Americanized now and very different from my Hong Kong friends.
Yeah. I totally feel that. And when you were talking about people expect you to become ABC, it's funny because now I feel like when I speak in Cantonese, like even to my parents on the phone, like I'm just not fluent anymore. Like there's just some words I can't, like some sentences I can't form anymore in Cantonese, which is kind of sad. But that's the joke that people always make. They're like, oh my god, you like mm-hmm. slip in English words, and it's like, like, why are you trying so hard to be American? But genuinely, I can't help it. Like, I'm not trying to be American.
I think there's like, this is a very interesting like expectation that people have, because if you don't do that, they feel like, oh, I thought you came back from the US, like why aren't you more Americanized? And when you actually become Americanized, they're like, oh, you're too Americanized. Why are you trying so hard? Why are you trying to be someone else? And all those times, exactly. I'm just being myself and cannot be accepted as myself.
Mm-hmm. Especially like when it was something that people would make fun of. Like, I feel like I used to make fun of ABCs, like people who like are trying to be Americanized, like people who like at Hollister. Like, they always hired, like, ABC models at Hollister who have to speak English, and they have to be like, hello, welcome to the pier. Like, I remember I just always made fun of those kinds of people. Yeah.
The R sound.
And, like, because in high school we all had bangs, right? And the Hollister people would, like, have that part.
Yeah, fun
like,
guy.
Yeah, like, they always go like this.
1-9-1 ratio parting. So, yes, that is such a meme, though.
Yeah, it's such a meme. But then, like, it was such a negative way that we talked about it, which we shouldn't have. You know? But
yeah,
inevitably, like, I find myself in that, but then also don't want to be that. And yeah, like you, like in high school when I went back to Hong Kong, I felt like this was such a comfort for me. I still had all the same friends, I would say, I was able to keep in contact with. So every time I went back in high school, because they were still in high school, so then things would just be pretty normal and comfortable, and I was still so familiar with the place. And it's weird to see how those feelings change, like, as the longer I'm away from Hong Kong and the more assimilated mm-hmm. I am in college. And I feel like mm-hmm. it's really up to the people. Like in high school, because I didn't have that many close friends, mm-hmm. I really relied on the comfort of home, which made me enjoy it a lot mm-hmm. more. But in college, when I was able to like be confident and like be really happy of where I was, especially in college when we like were exposed to a lot of social justice and a lot of like a really mm-hmm. new way of thinking, I would come back and feel mm-hmm. like I couldn't fit in, like, and I couldn't yes. and especially like in college, I feel like some of the Hong Kong circles that I've had have I've drifted apart from, which is no one's fault, like it just makes sense, we're both in college, you know, but I really felt like I couldn't really communicate my thoughts anymore. Like the more comfortable I felt like I was in the US, the more uncomfortable I was in Hong Kong, and vice versa. And I just feel like I can't change that anymore, because even though I was living in Hong Kong for like 7-8 months right last year, it was like the hardest adjustment. Like I just felt so like so much of an outsider. But yeah, it's so weird because this place used to be like our life. And it's so mm-hmm. weird coming back as someone who has left. And I always say this, but I feel like I love Hong Kong as a city. And I love the nostalgia, the food. Like, it's always going to be home. And, like, I love the people. Like, I love my friends. I love my family. But I feel like this city isn't for me of where I am right now. Like, I just feel like it's – I'm so – not assimilated. I don't want to say assimilated because I do try to preserve like my culture a lot, like when I'm in the US, and I do value like my origins, like when I'm not in Hong Kong, but I'm so like far gone from like when I felt comfortable in this city. And I'm just not like right for this city anymore, even though I love it so much.
Yeah, I agree. What you talked about, like, learning about social justice in the U.S., like, really changed my perspectives on a lot of things. Like, I think I really buy into a lot of the ideals and concepts and values that I learned from those social justice topics. And I feel like those ideals are more accepted here in the US, and to me those are quote unquote the right ways to do things. Like I'm very bought into that. But mm-hmm. when I go back and see similar problems in Hong Kong, I would try to use like the US perspective to look at those things, and I'll see a lot of problematic things, and that will make me feel very uncomfortable and just feel like, oh, why can't we do better? Why is this city like this? So yeah, it's like my values and like perspectives on the world has changed so much that I've grown away from mm-hmm. the culture in Hong Kong. And
yeah,
also, I feel like Hong Kong, I don't know, maybe that's just like in my personal experience, like, or just hearing about my friends' stories. I feel like Hong Kong is not a very good city that cultivate personal growth and development. Mm. I feel like a lot of times people are very like fixated on their identity that were like formed during high school or whatnot, because I don't know, it just feel like, because like people like are really judgy sometimes, and you're scared yeah. of like go out of your comfort zone, try something new, do something that is not like considered as you.
Yeah,
I feel like there are a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. I feel like I do know people who are very reflective and like are very like self-improving mm-hmm. but that's like really on them, like the city doesn't really yeah. like provide that. And I feel like every time I come back, there are certain things, certain feelings that just come up that never come up when I'm in the U.S. And I don't know if you have those same, like, recurring feelings of the same certain things that you feel whenever you're back here.
Like what?
Like, for me, I feel like every time I'm back, I feel very self-conscious in terms of body image. Yeah. I feel like I don't have, like, my own identity, and I feel like because I've changed so much in the U.S., but I'm still me, you know? Like, I still feel like at the core I'm still me, but a lot of people I know here don't see that. Like, they don't see how I interact with people now, so I always revert back into, like, my old self, and I feel like all the progress that I've made is, like, regressed, like, doesn't exist, which is not true, because I am, like, not the same person, but because everyone is treating me that way, I feel like a lot of the struggles I had in high school come back. Like, I feel like I'm back there.
I see. I think I do feel a lot more self-conscious about body image when I'm in Hong Kong, just because I feel like people there are, like, skinnier too, and they strive for that very thin and, like, skinny body shape.
Yeah. And sometimes I'm like, I compare, like, me in Hong Kong to me in the US, right? I feel like in the US, like, I'm pretty small. Like, I'm still pretty petite in comparison to, like, the standard. But I feel like when I'm in Hong Kong, like, I'm not, like, I'm medium. Like, I feel like it's so different. And in the U.S., when I buy clothes, I have to buy extra small. But when I'm here, I have to buy medium. Like, it's just, like, such a different standard. It's hard not to, like, regress back into those, that mindset. Especially when everyone around you is, like, talking about, like, even now, like, say the skinniest friend that I have, whatever. Like, whatever standards you have, right? Let's say Hong Kong standard, to be ideal, you have to be skinny. Mm-hmm. And even when I see, like, friends around me that fit that ideal, they just feel so shit. Like, they still feel like they are not there.
Which is so sad. My face looks chubby.
They're like, oh, I'm so fat recently. And I'm like, literally, you can be a model. And you're not, like... Mm-hmm. And it's really sad to me. Because I think when I was in college, I was so confident in who I was, I was able to, like, ignore that. I was able to be very confident in myself. But I think post-college, that's when I feel like I was regressing a bit more in terms of body image. Like, I just feel more pressure to, like, exercise more, to eat healthy, to, like, be so conscious about my weight and, like, how I look whenever I'm here. And I really don't know, like, how to change that. Like, whenever I'm back in the U.S., I'm fine. Like, it still happens, but it's not as frequent. And I feel like I give myself more grace when I'm in the U.S. versus when I'm here.
Yeah. I feel like the city itself, like, here in the U.S., give you more grace in general than...
Yeah.
Than Hong Kong, and that in turn give yourself more grace too. Yeah, I don't know if we can change that, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know.
The only thing we can change is our own mindsets, but at the same time, that is also difficult when everyone around you have the same mindset but is different from yours.
It's so easy to regress when you're back in a city that you grew up in. Like, it's so easy to just fall back into old patterns.
Even now that I'm living with my parents, I feel like I'm falling back to a lot of my old habits too, you know.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
So, like, the people who are around you do really matter.
Who you surround yourself with. Yeah. No,
a lot.
It
and
really
that's
does.
That's why we're so confident in college too, because, like, everyone in college is so supportive and, like, welcoming, and, like, everyone, no matter their size, color, gender, well, in my experience, I feel like they're all somewhat accepted and celebrated.
I feel like in the U.S. at least you can find, like, a group or like people who accept you, but also people who look like you, like people who maybe are like not a petite Asian, you know, like people who are very diverse. And I feel like in Hong Kong, you don't really find that. Like, maybe there are different niches, but the beauty standard is just way more high and way more strict. Versus in the U.S., there's just so many different kinds of people. And you'll find your own niche. Like, you'll find your own group. Mm-hmm. Again, in my experience, though. I feel like maybe it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a constant struggle, I think, for anyone who has moved. And obviously, like, we don't feel like we fit into either one. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we're too American for Hong Kong people and too Hong Kong for American people. I feel like every time I come back, my friends are like, oh, you're too Americanized now. Or, like, even, like, my relatives would say that. Like, you're too, like, I don't know. And it doesn't, it's not
a good feeling. They're like, oh, like, guai mui zai la, yiga binja. Guai mui zai sai la.
Yeah.
Which is guai mui zai, that means.
Like, it's like guai lo.
Guai lo. Yeah. Guai lo, guai mui.
Yeah.
Westerners.
And that's not a good feeling. It's like, why are you saying that so much? Yeah. I already know that.
It's like, I am still from Hong Kong. Like, I'm still the same person. Just growth. Like, this is growth.
And I see it so much when I talk to, like, my old friends here who are, like, now working here and stuff. Like, there's just slang and things that happen I don't understand.
You don't get anymore. No.
I don't get it. Like, slang especially. Like, when they use certain slang words, I'm like, what? And I was actually stalking my old private Instagram. And I used to type, like, all in Chinese. Like, all in, like, slang. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Do you think for you there was like a moment, a specific moment that you realized you didn't fit into either?
Probably like when I go back, hoping that, you know, the experience will feel like home again, will feel very comfortable again. But realize that, wait, this is not what I have expected, and realize that, oh, I've grown so much since I moved that I don't entirely fit in here anymore. And also, I can't pinpoint a specific moment, but sometimes also just seeing how the city has changed.
Yeah.
You know, last time when I went back.
True.
But like, so much has happened that I have already missed out on.
It changes so quickly. And the Hong Kong that I kind of still imagine in my head is the high school Hong Kong. Like, the one that I, like, am so familiar with, and now it's not that anymore.
Yeah. Not only, like, physical environment, but I feel like people, too, because of the political and social movements that has happened, that has impacted every single one. I think it is ingrained in Hong Kong culture right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Every single part of it, but I wasn't there.
Yeah. I think mine, like, my moment that I realized is kind of random, but I think, like, one year when I was packing to leave, like, it's because, like, I've been in the U.S. for so long, I always have shit, like, at home, like, at my parents' place, or, like, I have stuff, like, in college, I have stuff, like, in my apartment now, and it's, like, I hate having all my things scattered throughout. Like, like, when I'm packing to leave Hong Kong, I'm, like, okay, I'm gonna leave some clothes here, because when I go back to the U.S. for college, it's gonna be winter, and then when I come back from college, I'm, like, oh, it's gonna be summer, so I'm just gonna pack all my summer clothes. Like, none of my things are always in one place, and that annoys me a lot. And I think, like, every time I pack, that's when I'm like, oh, I feel like my things are scattered throughout both of my homes.
Mm.
That event, like, slowly then I'm like, oh, like, I don't like that. Like, I think I have a negative feeling towards that because I just like all my things to be in one place. But I realize I can't. Like, that's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was even talking to my therapist about that. Like, I hate that feeling. I just want And I think that's so related to how I hate, like, moving around all the time, like, having my heart in both places. Like, ideally, like, I just want everything, both of my lives, to merge into one. Like, I just want to have my parents, like, my friends from both sides all be in one place. But I can't. And I don't think I realized that until more recently. Like, I processed that. But I think through the always traveling back and forth, I slowly realized that I just, like, don't fit into either one. So random.
No, I think it makes sense, though, because you're moving between two places very often.
Yeah.
You don't feel settled in one place.
It's always like some, like, my heart feels like so anxious, like Lola Loon. It's like, oh shit, what do I have in Hong Kong? Like, or even when I'm shopping and I'm like, oh, I want to buy this thing, and I'm like, oh shit, do I have it already? Like, what does my wardrobe look like in Hong Kong? You know, that's why I don't buy shit in the U.S.
Yeah. Then, do you feel like you fit into one culture more than the other?
I think now I definitely feel like I fit more into U.S. culture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I'm so far removed from Hong Kong culture, I feel like. And a lot of my Hong Kong culture is in the past. Like, it's very much high school.
Yeah.
Because I, like, the amounts of times I get exposed to all that is just very rare. And a lot of my close friends have moved away from Hong Kong, so it's also like they don't know. And even in, like, in the songs that I listen to, it's all just nostalgic because it brings me back to that time period. But if you're asking me about new things, I don't really know anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I feel so foreign. Do you think you fit into one more?
I think when I was in college, I definitely feel like I fit into the U.S. more because I'm very immersed in the college community and with all of my American friends.
Yeah.
But because now I live with my parents, like, I feel like my, like, the Hong Kong is, like, quote unquote, coming back. You know, it's a more obvious. Not that I was trying to hide before, it's just like sometimes it feels like you're working different parts of your brain.
No, it really does.
Like, when you're with your friends, you have a different, like, attitude, tone of voice. You know, like, when I was in college, I feel like I'm always, like, super hyper, and, like, when you say hi to people on campus and, like, just super nice in general. But then Hong Kong people don't do that. Like, we don't have small talks. We don't be like, oh, thank you, and, like, do all of that, like, super nice shit. And I think now that I'm with my parents, and that's, like, the way that they communicate with me is the Hong Kong way, right? So I'm just more used to that way of, like, talking. Sometimes thinking, I can see, like, I can sense that, like, some of my ways of thinking are changing back to the Hong Kong me too. Because I'm always with them. I'm watching, like, Hong Kong TV shows, listening to Hong Kong music. Like, they watch political commentaries about Hong Kong and China on YouTube every single day. Even though I don't want to listen to it, I'm still listening to it. And I can see how, like, slowly, like, my views and perspective can be changed by that too. Like, slowly brainwashing. So right now, I do feel like it's a 50-50. It really depends on my current environment, I feel like.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do feel like when I'm in the U.S., I feel more Hong Kong. Like, I feel more like I want to relate to my Hong Kong identity because, to be fair, like, in the U.S., when we relate to our Asian identity, it is the Asian American identity. It's more so that. I think that's what I relate to more now than I do, like, my Hong Kong-born identity, because
that's true.
Like, I feel like I'm proud of being Asian and being from Hong Kong, but my rhetoric about my experience is very Americanized.
Yeah.
And that's kind of weird, but also makes sense because I am in America. Like, I feel like I don't remember how I feel being – I don't remember how I lived my life before I moved, you know? Like, I don't know. It's so weird to, like, think back, and I feel like my identity has changed so much since I moved. And I guess I kind of talked about, like, how I feel frustrated because it feels like I'm living two lives, like, in terms of, like, going back and forth all the time and not having all my stuff in one place. Like, it's so frustrating. Do you feel like that? Like, I feel – you haven't gone back to Hong Kong in a while, but do you – like, even just being in the U.S., do you feel like you have two different lives, like, when you hang out, like, at home, like, with your parents versus when you're with your friends? Or at work or something.
I haven't even been with my friends in a very long time, I feel like.
You did, though, recently.
Like, where I work. Yeah. Well, yeah, with Dion. Yes.
Yeah.
and with my work, I'm with, like, my grandparents, too. And everyone can speak Chinese. So. but to your question, I wouldn't say I feel like I'm living two different lives.
Mm-hmm.
But I always wonder how my life would be like in Hong Kong. Like, I would think about that. Like, what would be different? Would I be happier? Like, I feel like I would feel safer. I don't know. And, like, what would happen if, well, if I stayed in Hong Kong, I wouldn't be Americanized by, like, all the ideals and values. Then, like, I just don't know, like, what would happen.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, when I'm hanging out with my friends, I just feel like the way of communication is very different. Like, the way of communication and also, like you said, rhetoric and topics that we talk about are very different. And so it's more like I have to switch brains to communicate with my parents versus my friends. But
yeah,
internally, I think I still like understand that this is me. Like, both identities are still me, and this is the life that I'm living right now. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's very complicated.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm not trying to hide anything, like, when I'm around people. But I guess, like, because I'm not a very confrontational person, also kind of people pleaser. So I kind of just go with whoever is around me. I go with their mindsets sometimes.
Yeah. But also, you're also, like, you show different parts of yourself to different people, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like if I interacted with my Hong Kong friends like I do my college friends, that'd be kind of weird. Like, I feel like I still – I'm not, like, a different person, but I just – the way I convey things or the topics we talk about are just different inherently. Yeah. So, yeah, that really – that makes sense.
I think, like – I mean, it's not like we have split personalities, right?
Yeah.
Like, I realized this when I think it was in college or something. Like, there was just one moment where my friends asked me a similar question, where do you feel like you're a different person, like, in high school versus in college? Because some people, they can be very different, right? But I think how I describe my feeling is that, like, we're all kind of like a cube, and a cube with different sides. They're all one cube, but you show different sides in different situations. But they're all just one thing. It's a cube, one thing.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do feel like I show different parts of myself to different groups. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of friendships, how is your relationship with, like, your Hong Kong friends?
Oof. So I think I also talked about this before.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so bad at keeping long distance friendship. Like,
it's hard.
I am not very good at reaching out and keeping in touch with people when not physically with them. Mm-hmm. Like, even with college friends now, too. But I would say, like, maybe, like, two people that I keep in touch with.
Yeah.
One's my best friend. The other, he's also, like, super, super good friend. Well, also best friend. Yeah. But I just talk to the other person a lot more. Yeah. I talk to the other person a lot more. Oh, it's okay. She doesn't listen to this podcast. But, like, we kind of talk, like, maybe, like, 4 or 5 months a year. Like, maybe just once or twice a year to the other person. But all my other friends, I don't really talk to them anymore. I just see them on social media. But with my best friend, I think when it comes to long-distance friendship, you really have to, for me, I, like, have to pick and choose who you want to keep in touch with. And sometimes, not like you have to, like, oh, like, I want to be closer with this person, but sometimes it just happens. Just happens that, you know, you get closer with this person even when you're further apart. And you, to maintain these friendships, I think you really have to put energy and time into it, because you have the time difference. You always have to coordinate, like, what time you want to call. Like, you have to schedule a week ahead to talk.
Or months.
Like, this is, like, this is how me and my best friends are. We actually have to schedule a call with each other.
Yeah.
So, and then maybe he'll have to stay up later. I will have to wake up earlier. So these are actual efforts that you have to, like, put in. And I guess I think the time and energy that you put into these friendships really show you who really matters to you. And I think that personally too, like, the physical distance also actually made our friendship stronger, because sometimes they're kind of like therapists where they are not involved in your lives here.
Yeah.
You can tell them whatever the heck you want. And then there would be no consequences. So,
that's true.
He also doesn't really know my friends here. So he can give me a very objective perspective and opinions on things. And sometimes, like, when I'm talking to him, of course, I feel more like, we talk about, like, using different parts of our brains, but I feel like when I'm talking to him, it's like it finally merged together. Because,
like, because he's, like, been updated with your life.
Yeah, he's been updated with my life, and he also knows the Hong Kong me very well. Like, he even, like, came and visited me in the US, so, like, he kind of understand my home here and know how life is kind of like in America too.
Yeah
So
that makes sense.
In that sense, I feel like he really make the effort to maintain this friendship. He came all the way, he applied for a visa and came all the way here. Aww. To visit me. So I think just I don't know what to say, but time and energy,
it's so really hard. I feel like the doing of long distance friendships is kind of like a filter of, like, filtering out, like, what friends you are really, really close to. And it's not to say, like, the ones that you don't keep in contact with, like, you're not close. Like, some I don't talk to at all when I'm in the US, and when I go back to Hong Kong, I see them, like, we hang out and stuff. And it's not to say that they aren't my good friends. It's just, like, you see the other person putting in effort. I think I actually have gone to a point where it's not like I don't try, but it's like I'm so confident in that friendship that I know it's gonna be fine. So it's not like I need to maintain conversation every day. And I think, like, just when I was in high school, I said in our previous episode too that we FaceTimed a lot. And even in college, I think I would find time to FaceTime them. Just like randomly, you know? And
yeah,
it's very interesting when you're like, when you were saying how like your best friend knows the you in the U.S. because I think that's really important. And I think that I find a trend whenever I visit Hong Kong and when I see my friends is that we're like catching up on like life events that happened in the past 2 years or something, because it's been 2 years since like I've seen them. And it's, and our conversation is always like, so what happened in your life, like update me. But then I have some friends that I keep in contact with a lot throughout, and I don't need to have those conversations, which is really nice, because I feel like sometimes those conversations feel really forced for me, and I'm like, I really don't remember what happened in the 2 years of my life that I haven't seen you. So I think those friends that I can just see and just like not have to update each other constantly, like I'm really comfortable with that. And sometimes I still feel like I'm so far removed from Hong Kong, and like obviously they're living here and their life is here, but the fact that I am still able to feel so comfortable with them, I think, and they're very patient with me, like when I speak Cantonese too, I feel like, okay, actually my Cantonese isn't that bad, but I just can't find the words to convey what I'm trying to say sometimes. And they're very like patient with that, like I feel like they accept my bicultural identity even more than I accept it. And they're the ones who's telling me that I'm both, you know, like it just makes sense that I'm both, which I feel like is something I'm actually really insecure about whenever I come back, because I'm like very local, like I used to be very local, and I don't want people here to see me differently, like I don't want to stand out, I think. But long distance friendships are really hard.
But then they're so like so precious.
I'm really grateful for like friendships who have been able to like, I don't know, I feel like one of my good friends, Joanne, like she's in Seattle right now, so she like, she came out, did you meet her? I don't think you did, but she came down for graduation weekend, and like I visit her in Seattle sometimes, so it's really good to have someone who's also in the US who like is like so into my life but also grew up with me. Like I've known her since we were three, but then like she's met like all my friends, she's met like my whole friend group, and like she's met like George, like she's met like a lot of people in my life, but also like she grew up with me, so she knows all my family. Like it's really nice to like know that she can experience life moments with me, but also like we've grown up together. It's so weird, like friendships are so weird.
I feel that, and I think like honestly, like the part where you like constantly, not like always, like but like every once in a while updating each other is very important. Like me and my best friend, we call like almost every month or every 2 months.
That's so hard. Props to you.
No, like but like, you know, like I feel like every month, once a month or like twice a month, once a month or once every 2 months, I'll just have a mental breakdown, and I'm like, can you talk? Or he'll have a have like a mental breakdown, and then he'll be like, can we please talk?
So, it's also nice to have someone removed from like your life to listen to
you. And but then even though like right now we're both like quote unquote adults, we have very busy lives. Like he has a busier life than I do now. It's crazy. But like even though if we don't talk for like 2 months, 3 months, like you said, I think we're both very confident in our friendship that we know that whenever we reach out, like everything will go back to how it was. It doesn't make sense. It just feel like you don't feel anxious to like have to talk to this person, like, oh, would it be awkward because we haven't talked for so long? Like you don't really have that feeling. It's just like, so bitch, how have you been?
It's like just picking up like that. Like you don't have to try. You do have to try, but emotionally I feel like you don't have to like force or
very, very precious, like
props to all those long distance friendships out there. Yeah. And I think another like thing about good like long distance friendships is like the spontaneity to like a call. Like I feel like I hate calls and I hate like people calling me. Like I get anxious.
Yeah.
But whenever like maybe sometimes like sometimes I feel like when it's with people in different time zones, the only time you can call if it's random. Like if it's like, oh, are you free right now? And like you happen to be free, then like you call then because it's hard to schedule and like time difference.
Yeah.
So I think I have a lot of spontaneous calls with some of my good friends. And I really value those because I'm not like, don't call me, you know? Like, I'm actually very comfortable to, like, talk on the phone with them, which is a good sign for me. Shout out to our friends.
Wow. I know.
We're both just happy now.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Aw.
Well, I guess we should conclude this episode.
Let's conclude. Also
be this season.
I know. Oh my gosh, I didn't even register.
I think yeah, but in
conclusion, we are Hannah Montana.
Oh my god.
The best of both worlds.
Yes. Best of both worlds. Really is.
And to conclude, I guess our last question for this episode and this season can be, what does being from Hong Kong and at the same time being American mean to us?
It's such a deep question. I like.
I know. It's like encompassed our last 7 years of our life. I don't know. I think it means that we're both. And I think that's something that I struggled to come to terms with. Of like, we're actually not one or the other. And I feel like I try so hard to be one or the other whenever I'm in a different place. But I think I just need to remember that my identity is both. And I think once I accept that, I can accept and be more confident in both places. And I think it's actually really beautiful. Like, I think it is a sign of, like, how lucky we are to be able to have lived such, like, an identity-forming life in Hong Kong and, like, grow up in Hong Kong, but also, like, are able to settle down in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And having lives in both places, even though it's inevitable, like, even our situation, like, given our move, but I think it reflects how, like, lucky we are. Like, I feel like most of the time, I do feel like I have the best of both worlds, like, being able to travel back and forth, seeing people, and obviously, like, there's struggles, like, there's a lot of struggles that comes with that, and being split between two places, but I think ultimately, like, it is a blessing, and I think that I'm learning how to be both. Like, I'm learning not to box myself into one and feel bad. Mm-hmm. And not to say that my problems and feelings that come with being bicultural aren't valid, but I think that I am on a journey to learn how to really accept my identity. Because my identity is both. Mm-hmm. Like, that in itself has become a whole different category now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel like it's a blessing that comes with like hard times, but ultimately, like, I do love it. I do love all the people that I've met here. I do love, you know, all the people I have back home.
I feel like you said everything.
Maybe Summer can give some advice to those who are feeling the same thing.
I think being from Hong Kong and being American, yeah, like you said, it's a very beautiful and unique thing. I think, like, my bicultural identity have just broadened my perspectives on things and know that there's not one way of doing things, if that makes sense. Like, it really opened my eyes to different ways of thinking and accepting that there's no one right way to do it. And I mean, like, at some point, I do feel like my growing up from Hong Kong, like, sometimes I'll feel, because of my bicultural identity, like, it will hurt my confidence sometimes because I feel like, oh, I'm not American. For the US, like, there's so many, like, I don't know, like, there's so many cultures that people grew up with that I don't understand. So many words, slangs, I still don't understand. And that does hurt my confidence a lot. But at the same time, my bicultural identity also makes me more confident because I'm really proud of where I came from. And like, whenever I introduce myself, usually the first thing I'm gonna say is like, oh, I'm from Hong Kong.
Yeah, me too.
I always say that. I make sure that is clear that you know that I'm from Hong Kong. You know, like, so I'm very, very, very proud to have that identity. And everything that I get to experience because of that identity. I think I've come a long way and I'm proud of everything that I've learned, been able to do. And as for any advice to whom I experience the same feelings, I'll say, I guess we're all going through shit. Honestly, it's just gonna be a journey. But an advice for the audience and also for myself is to embrace differences and embrace your bicultural identities rather than resisting it. Like you said, don't put yourself in a box. Like, accepting this is the whole you that makes you you. Without one identity or the other, you will not be you.
True. Yes, snaps to that.
Yeah, I tried to be wise.
I like that a lot. Like, embracing both parts of you, because you won't be who you are without either. And that is very true. Anyways, thank you for sticking with us.
Yeah, this season has been like, no, like, it's been a discovery journey for both of us too. Like, I'm so glad we get to interview so many people and explore different things and try things. Like, we've met so many cool people.
I know we did, and I feel like we touched upon a lot of reflective topics too. I feel like we used to do more like educational maybe topics, but I feel like this season we've done a lot of like deep reflecting, and yeah, it's kind of nice, warm and fuzzy. Yeah. But yeah, if you've listened up to this episode, it's our 30th episode, like, thank you for sticking around and listening to our podcast. We don't know when we'll be back, but we will be back.
Yes, definitely. Not giving up on this. I'm quitting my job. Not quitting this.
No, this is, like, honestly so nice and therapeutic, I feel like. But ultimately, like, we just want to share our experience and hopefully someone will find it beneficial. But let us know, like, what you want to hear. Because I don't know. I feel like we should talk about things too that maybe other people are interested or curious about. But yeah, we'll be back soon though. We'll be back and better.
We'll be back.
I mean, thanks for listening and have a great holiday season.
Have a great holiday season. Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year, and then Valentine's Day.
True. And we're in 2022. Oh, yeah, God. 2022.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Have a good one.